This is Series 3 of Brave New Girl podcast, and I'm Lou Hamilton, author and illustrator of Brave New Girl, How to Be Fearless, and I welcome you to the stories of real-life Brave New Girls who are creatives, founders, campaigners, health practitioners, and thought leaders who are making a positive impact in the world. This week's guest is Jodie Cohen, the author of Essential Oils to Boost the Brain and Heal the Body, award-winning journalist, functional practitioner, and founder of Vibrant Blue Oils, combining her training in nutritional therapy and aromatherapy to help over 50,000 clients heal from brain-related challenges, including anxiety, insomnia, and autoimmunity. Welcome, Jodie, to Brave New Girl podcast. Hi, Jodie, how are you?
Good, it's nice to meet you.
And you. I've been really excited to meet you because I've been reading your book avidly. I bought it a few months ago and was sort of practicing mixing the blends. And then I heard you on a podcast. It was Dr. Tabitha, and she's been on this podcast. And I thought, really, I'd love to speak to you so much. It's amazing what you're doing with the essential oils.
Thank you.
I wonder, during the pandemic, through this very tricky sort of 18 months, everyone that's experienced the same thing in various ways, how have you found it with the people that you work with in terms of, with this book, this latest book, you're looking at kind of brain health and how essential oils can help with that, and in particular anxiety, insomnia, those kind of issues. And have you found that kind of thing has increased, and are more people coming to you because they've been afraid to go to the doctors? How's it sort of played out?
I don't know if they're coming to me in default to the doctors. I think that because so many tools have been taken away, you know, I think so many of us self-medicate with distraction. You know, we go shopping, we go out to dinner with friends, we see movies, we go places, we keep ourselves so busy that we don't need to feel. And so being locked in our homes has kind of forced us to have to feel things and experience things that we don't really know how or what to do with. And so I think people, for that reason, because oils are so fantastic at really helping us process through emotions, calm our nervous systems, and kind of put ourselves in the right space to really do that heavy lifting, I think people have, by necessity, you know, had to look for other solutions.
And so people come to you and they can buy the blends online.
Right.
But your book is a sort of a really amazing guide for helping people to identify what is going wrong and then being able to mix their own blends. And I think one of the really tricky things is actually when things are going wrong is to be able to look at what actually is the problem.
What I really try to do, just backing up with the book, first I wanted to kind of pull oils out of the realm of woohoo and magic and, you know, uncertainty, and just remind people that they're plants and they're concentrated essences of plants, and explain kind of the different mechanisms for assimilation through the skin and through the olfactory channels. And then the second step, I think that people feel very disempowered. And I think part of it is because they feel like they're very complicated and they, you know, no one can help them, or they need a certain kind of doctor. And what I've come to find is, no matter how complicated you might be, no matter what your test results might say, if you're not sleeping, if you're stuck in stress, and if the garbage can't leave your body, that seems to lie at the root of all of these incredibly complicated problems. And when you kind of balance those three areas, no matter what is going on, it seems to help. It's the first step for, you know, if you have Lyme, if you have autoimmunity, if you have some kind of chronic illness, those three things will help. They will start moving you in the right direction. If you're just suffering from, you know, I seem to be carrying extra weight, I don't have the energy that I used to, I need more caffeine, and I'm in the middle of a sentence and I can't remember a specific word, those three things can kind of boot you back to normal. So that was really my goal, is, and those three things lend themselves well to essential oils. So I just really wanted to re-empower people with something that was very easy, very accessible, and very affordable.
So how have you managed then during lockdown? How have you used essential oils to help you?
So one of the things that I think people struggle with, I'm really fascinated with this idea of resilience. And in fact, I think that's going to be my next book. But this idea that, you know, tragedy befalls a family and some siblings are fine and others are not. And the variable that is the difference is resilience. And what that means is the ability, even when things hit rock bottom, to kind of keep moving and adapt and change. And it turns out that resilience can not only be taught, but it's pretty actionable. And so one of the main things with resilience is mindset, is just this idea that you kind of commit to keep going no matter what. And that can be as simple as, you know, you're trying to lose weight and your alarm goes off and you'd rather hit snooze than go to the gym. And you, you know, in that moment say, even though I don't want to do this now, my bigger goal is, you know, to get healthy. So I'm going to get up even though I don't want to, you know, or you're craving a cookie and you know you should eat a carrot. You know, in that moment, it's just the ability to kind of see the bigger picture. And so with that in mind, you know, things can be easily overwhelming. I found that the majority of the people, if they had to pick one word for kind of how they felt in COVID, it was overwhelmed. And I think part of that was because they didn't feel like they had control of things and, you know, their distractions were taken away. And so when you're overwhelmed, you can't do 17 things. You have to pick three. Three is kind of the max. And so I really tried to get people to focus on just all you have to do is eat, sleep, and move. Movement is key. And there are oils that lend themselves really nicely to that, like sleep. One of the problems is that people are looking for like a one-size-fits-all solution for sleep. And it's not, there's no one-size-fits-all solution because there are a variety of underlying issues that could be throwing you off. For example, if you struggle to fall asleep, that is a different issue than if you wake up in the middle of the night. Falling asleep has more to do with your body's ability to release melatonin, the sleep hormone, and there are other hormones that kind of antagonistically can prevent that, like cortisol. It could be as simple as, you know, wearing dark glasses at night. It could be that your pineal gland, which releases melatonin, is a little congested and needs some help kind of detoxifying a bit. And then if you're waking up in the middle of the night, if you wake up and you're wide awake, usually around 1 a.m., what's happening there is that your blood sugar, your energy reserves are dipping too low in the evening. And so the emergency energy reserves are released from the adrenal glands, so adrenaline, cortisol. And so that puts lots of sugar in your bloodstream. So you feel wide awake, like you're adrenalized, like you could go clean the kitchen, you know, or write your term paper, whatever it is, because you're so wide awake. So what pulls the sugar out of the blood and into the cells is the pancreas. So anything you can do in the middle of the night, we have a pancreas blend that's a lot of rose geranium to help kind of help the pancreas get the energy out of your system so that you feel less energized and more tired. That helps a lot. Getting up around 3 a.m. to use the loo and maybe feeling you, that's a usually an easier return to sleep. That's often your organs of detoxification, your liver and your gallbladder are the busiest while you're sleeping. And so when you're able to support them more so that they can carry the burden more, and you know, if they're overwhelmed, then they tend to kind of offload some of the weight of the detox to the kidneys, and then you need to use the loo in the middle of the night. So there are just these little hacks, and it's kind of like everything. Like when you know what, oh, that's going on. Oh, I know what to do. You know, kind of like the first time you encounter everything, you're like, I've never done this before. But then you're like, oh, now I know. You know, first time my daughter just learned to drive. You know, how do you turn on a car? You know, now she knows. It's not something you struggle with every single time.
That's really interesting because I do take your pancreas blend before I go to sleep normally, except that last night I forgot to put it on my tummy and I woke up.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely wide awake. And yeah, I just went and did some work because I was just, so that's so true. So before we get into how it all came about, how you created Vibrant Blue Oils and got into essential oils, I'd like to sort of take you back to painting a picture of you as a child. Were you academic or were you kind of a nature lover? What was your sort of background?
You know, I grew up in Seattle back when it was barely on the map. Like, my mother was a New Yorker and she moved here and sent someone at home back in New York a picture of an Indian in a teepee and said, "That's my neighbor," and they believed her. So my house was kind of surrounded by forest and trees, and we used to make potions and just, you know, my dad was an Eagle Scout, so he was quite outdoorsy. Yeah, I loved nature and skiing. So I was kind of athletic, but nature athletic, running, hiking, skiing, and then academics. I liked learning. I always thought that was fun.
And so when you left home to sort of go out into the big wide world, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do and be? And was there a sort of career path to trajectory for you?
You know, they say that in hindsight, everything makes sense. And if you look, you know, at reverse, my career does make sense. At the time, I knew I liked writing and I knew I liked researching. I studied journalism and politics in college and then wound up getting a job in the U.S. Senate for Ted Kennedy on health and human resources before I knew I was interested in health. Because, you know, when you're 21, you're pretty healthy, so you don't need to think about it too much. But it really gave me a very good foundation in research. I would help put on hearings. And so I'd have to look through a huge stack of research papers. And you know, the senators aren't reading the research. The staff is reading the research and then giving them the bullet points. So really trying to understand what does this mean and condense it down so that, you know, obviously senators are brilliant, but so that the layperson can understand it. And then I went into journalism for a while and went back and got a degree in business. And it wasn't really until my second child was born that I was always interested in health, but when you're healthy, you don't need to deep dive. It's not until things kind of go amiss that you start to uncover, wait, why? And my first child was super easy, like exceptionally easy. And I just assumed it was because I was a great mom. So I had another one 22 months later who was harder. And I kept taking parenting classes and thinking that was it. And nothing seemed to help. Like, our joke, we used to point at our nose and say, "Look at my nose." And he couldn't focus on our nose. So one day we were at a birthday party and my friend was complimenting me on how well behaved he was. And then another mom passed out a snack. I think it was Goldfish crackers. And he ate the crackers, literally Jekyll Hyde'd, and kind of took off. And so after I, you know, corralled him back, she said, "Okay, that was fascinating. I've never seen him shift so quickly after eating. My brother was on Ritalin his whole life, and it turned out he was just allergic to weird foods. You should take him to a nutritionist." And I thought, I can, you know, why not? I can do that. That doesn't seem that hard. I've done everything else. We took him to a nutritionist who kind of explained how certain chemicals and artificial colorings, excitotoxins, can really impact kids. And he gave us a restrictive diet. We took him off corn, soy, and dairy. And the next day he could look at our nose. And he was a different child. And my mind was so blown, because you love your children. And sometimes you're trying to fit that square peg into the round hole. And if your kid falls outside of kind of societal norms, there's a lot of judgment and criticism and undermining. And it feels really hard. You know, you love your babies and you would jump in front of a bus for them and fight for them in every way you can. And to have someone kind of tell you that you're not doing it right because your kid isn't showing up the way they want to see them was challenging. And once I realized it was food, that really blew my mind, because it had been such a painful point for so long. And so I didn't want anyone else to have to feel that way. So I went back to learn more about how diet really helps. And along the way, I live in Seattle, which is where a major naturopathic college is based. It's called Bastyr. And so I was able to take advantage of all these amazing courses, including this technique for assessing wiggly kids called muscle testing. It sounds quirky, but it's basically a really efficient way to ask the body and different organ systems what they need. And that skill set wound up being helpful when my life took another turn. My then husband you know, he was bipolar and he got pretty manic after our daughter was born and we thought he was under control. And then after my son was born, he just got depressed. My strategy at the time, not knowing any better, was just to keep doing more and more and more. And the more I did for him, the less he did for himself. And so he got worse and worse, despite my best intentions. And it got to the point where I was afraid he might die on my watch. And so my friends intervened and we moved him out of state to a residential treatment facility. And once I knew he was safe and it wasn't my job to keep him alive, it was like I completely ran out of gas, you know, and I had zero energy. The kids were 5 and 7. Suddenly I'm a single mom. Not truthfully that he helped that much anyway when he was that depressed, but you know, I had a full-time job. I was the class parent and I could barely get out of bed. I'd get up with them, make them breakfast, pack their lunch, drive them to school, come home, set the alarm for pickup and, you know, go get them again. And I knew enough. I knew it was my adrenal glands. I knew what remedies should be working and nothing was really moving the needle. And I was starting to feel concerned, you know, because this was not sustainable. And fortunately, a good friend, I had helped her with a fundraiser. So she was into oils and she came by with a big box and said, these are going to help you because you've been so high stress for so long, which means high cortisol. Cortisol contributes to systemic inflammation, which kind of throws off your ability to assimilate anything you're ingesting. But oils can be used through the skin. You can smell them. And that kind of got my attention. I thought, well, you know what? Why not? And I am using my handy muscle testing technique. I'm like, is this box even going to help me? And I got this crazy strong yes. And I thought, okay, well, that's inspiring. So the way it typically works is you use muscle testing to narrow the remedies down to like one remedy, possibly two. And I kept getting 5. And I was like, this hasn't happened before. What's up with this? And then it occurred to me, oh, wait, they're liquid. I can combine them. So then I shifted gears and, you know, was trying to figure out, okay, 7 drops of this one, 5 of this one, oil newbie, grabbed a shot glass out of my kitchen, made my first blend, put it over my adrenals on my low back and felt like myself for the first time in weeks. I was like, oh, wait, I can go running, you know, and when climbing your stairs feels like a lot to think of like, ooh, running 3 miles sounds fun. You know, it always used to, but not during that period. So anyway, I had this massively productive day. I went running. I went to the supermarket. I did all the laundry. I put it away. I cleaned the house. I made their favorite dinner. And that night after I got them in bed, I was like, okay, that I'm keeping that. Like, I don't even know what I did right, but that was great. And it's not uncommon when you're very anxious during the day to struggle with sleep at night. And so that was kind of my MO. I would call it clock watching. So somewhere between 10:30 and 11, it occurred to me, oh, wait a minute. I wonder if I could make an oil for sleep because I knew there were some transdermal melatonin applications that I knew the point above the ears was a really good application point. So I, you know, made my next thing up, walked upstairs, put it on, and like slept so hard. My son would wake me up by bouncing on the bed. And I woke up with him like hugging and like kissing me. And I'm like, oh, what a sweet way to wake up. He goes, yeah, you didn't wake up when I bounced on the bed. You swear you were sleeping really heavily. So I'm like, okay, that's a win. So I just kind of kept making things up and they kept working. And then when I started to feel more like myself, my friends were very curious, like what's working? What are you trying? So I would give them some samples to try and they found it helped them. It helped their clients. And so they started saying, you should really do something with this. At which point I finally had enough wherewithal to kind of go online and look at what was out there. And I was very surprised. I assumed that somebody else would already be, you know, using essential oil blends to balance organ systems and regions of the brain. And I was also surprised at how incredibly complicated they made it. You know, I was almost grateful that my mental bandwidth was zero because if I had started with research, I would have felt completely unqualified and never even tried it. So that's kind of how it got started.
Because it's an ancient process of healing, isn't it? It's not something that's sort of new. It has been around forever. So this, what you discovered online, who were these people that were doing something with it, and what were they doing that was different that you felt that you could step in?
Yeah, there are a lot of different oil companies, and they primarily sell single oils, individual oils, frankincense, peppermint, lavender on its own. And they sell, you know, some blends like use this for pain, use this for calm. But they're addressing the symptom. They're really looking at like, how do we kind of, it's like treading water instead of swimming to shore. And so what I saw as my kind of unique advantage was doing very specific proprietary blends that really address the underlying foundational issue. So it's not like you're putting the bucket beneath the dripping ceiling. You're actually climbing on the roof and fixing the ceiling.
And so you were making these blends, they were working for you, you were helping other people. At what point did you think, well, this could actually be a business? And then how did you start to think, well, how do I actually start that from scratch?
Well, it was much more organic than that. It was more, I thought it was interesting. And so I would just write blogs because I love, there's nothing that makes me happier than dot connecting, like having an idea. It's mostly triggered by a question, like, I wonder why that works. And then going and researching and figuring it out. So I would put a blog post up. There was an organization that I was affiliated with that had a conference, and we kind of went as a trial, like proof of concept. This makes sense to me. Does it make sense to other people? And we sold out the first night, and everyone said, oh, I love this. I've wanted to use oils. I like the way you explained it. So I kind of started with a little base, and it was always online. And I would just, you know, write a blog a week and fill orders. Basically, after the kids went to sleep, I'd fill orders out of my kitchen. And then I had a big Lulu bag, and I would put them in the mailbox on the way to yoga in the morning. That was how I did it for, you know, a long time. And then I did the Marie Forleo, like, online, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. It was my hobby. And I did that and figured out how to do email marketing, which was very similar to consumer marketing that I'd studied before. Just, you know, in consumer marketing, you actually mail an offer and get the postcard back. So that made a lot of sense to me. So I started doing that for a while. And people just kind of found me organically. And at a certain point, I hired an assistant. Then I hired a friend to help me fill oils. And it wasn't really until, it was just kind of growing naturally and organically. And then when I decided I wanted to write a book, you know, when you're, a book is a partnership with a publisher. And what you do is you deliver the content, and then you also commit to helping to sell the book. And in order to do that, you need more eyeballs, right? So of your total eyeballs, maybe 5% buy the book. So it was at that point that I started trying to do more marketing and grow, because I really, writing is really my first love. And I really wanted to succeed and get the book into as many hands as possible. So that was enough to kind of push past my introvert tendencies and try to grow the business.
And the oils themselves are organic and wildcrafted. So what's the difference between that and the ones that sort of are just that aren't organic? And, you know, what in terms of how they are assimilated into the body and how effective they are?
Well, it's not, they're assimilated the same way. The difference is, you know, oils are the highly concentrated essences of plants. So if they're grown with pesticides, you're just kind of assimilating more pesticides, which is really kind of the opposite of what you want. That said, I feel very sad. I feel like there's a lot of fear marketing in the oil business. And, you know, for anyone who's ever had an herb garden, it's really hard to kill mint. It's really hard to kill like basil and lavender. Like, you don't really need that many pesticides. It's kind of, there are a few very expensive oils, you know, like rose or jasmine, that sometimes are adulterated or compromised. But for the most part, it's more about also, like, you know, if you ever go to a farm to table restaurant, or we used to live in New York and go out to the Hamptons, the tomatoes in the Hamptons or in Italy, there is something about them. Like, all tomatoes are not created equally. It's just like they're grown in the sun at a certain altitude and temperature, and they're unbelievable. They're just so much better. And it's not a criticism of any other tomato. I just like those better. And so that's what I really try to do with the oils. We're very particular in how we source and the small farms we use and the climate that it's grown in and the altitude, because that all impacts, you know, the flavor and the medicinal properties.
And so how does it work? Can people contact you with particular issues, or is there enough information on the website, or do they have to use the book to guide themselves, or is it a combination of all of them?
It can be a combination. It really depends on how you like to learn and assimilate information. We have a quiz on the website. You can find it on the homepage that will kind of take you through what are your health priorities. Like, we really try to meet people where they're at. So we have a beginner's guide. If you've never thought of oils and you're not quite ready to buy a book, you can just download the free beginner's guide and we walk you through the basics. It's like 20 pages. It's very manageable. You know, what are oils? How do they work? Is this something I want to learn more about? And then if you do, then we have a quiz where we can help you figure out, like, which of these oils would be a good place for me to start. And one of the things that I do differently, I really feel like if you prioritize and pick the right priority, sometimes everything else shifts. Like sleep, for example, you know, say that you have low energy, you're gaining weight, and maybe you have brain fog and you're not sleeping. Sometimes when we shift sleep, you know, all of a sudden you have more energy. So you don't crave sugar, you know, because you have energy and that helps with your focus. So just by fixing sleep, you know, all of the downhill dominoes kind of got into the right space. So that's really why I have the quiz, because I'm very efficient. I really don't, you know, I don't want you to have to buy seven oils if one will work. So that's really the goal. And then the book is just kind of, you know, we have a lot of blogs on our site. I've been writing blogs since 2012, but some people just want everything all in one place. So the book is a good solution for them. If that's, you know, it's just kind of what is the easiest way for you to input and assimilate information?
I know you don't believe in a magic bullet, but some people, you know, they'll get an idea, okay, well, essential oils are going to cure everything and sort my life out. And they just focus on that one thing and maybe go completely over the top and then sort of find that they're sort of actually harming themselves by taking it too far, but not realizing that actually it's a balance across everything. It's across, you know, food and exercise and sleep and all of these things. So how do you help people to understand that essential oils are sort of part and parcel of a bigger picture, health picture?
That's a great question. I think everything is balance. My dad used to say everything in moderation, including moderation. Hmm. Well, that's actually one of the goals in the book, is helping people understand, you know, what is your nervous system? Your autonomic nervous system controls all of your automatic functions. And just like a car, it has different speeds. And when you're stuck in kind of high speed all the time, certain functions don't get turned on and don't run as efficiently. So just, I find, you know, it's funny when I used to work with kids, because kids and compliance can be tricky, right? But like, say you had a kid who played baseball and their real goal was to do better at baseball. They wanted to make sure they could hit the ball and run really fast and catch the ball. Well, you know, the more they're able to get oxygen into their cells to fuel things, the better able they're going to be at that. So explaining it that way, like, this is going to help you run faster. Then they're like, oh, I'm in, I want that. So I think it's important to understand kind of what's going on in your body so that you can then be discerning. And I think when you have a better understanding, kind of a big picture view of how things are working, then you don't get so attached to things in isolation. Like, you know, there are people that are like, oh, it's all about the gut. Well, yes, and, you know, the gut certainly plays a role. And if you're not eliminating your toxins from your system, then what happens is the immune system turns on and triggers inflammation. So it's not just gut inflammation. Like, if you're ignoring one part of the puzzle, even if, you know, and this is what makes me sad. Sometimes people will say, like, oh, I went gluten-free and it didn't work. And what they don't realize is it's not just gluten. It could be soy, it could be dairy, it could be eggs. You know, if you really want to try to eliminate things and add them back in, you can't just pick one in isolation. You have to eliminate all of them.
And I've also heard you talk sort of the other way around about plants. So you were talking about blue tansy as being an essential oil that helps stop repetitive thinking. And I was fascinated about that, you know, how do you discover these qualities to the essential oils?
That's a wonderful question. It's vibrant blue oils. There's something about the blue oils that really do help with the brain. It's a combination of your own experience and then research and getting other people's input. So I usually get very clear on my intention. What is it that I want to achieve? And then I formulate the oil around that. And then I test it. And then I look at the components of the plant and say, you know, like, oh gosh, why? You know, that's fascinating that this oil seemed to make the cut. And what is it actually doing? And how is it actually helping? And oftentimes, once I start to delve into that, it makes complete sense. Like I find a lot of literature that supports exactly what I'm finding.
I'm really fascinated about this idea of the power of these plants. And let's sort of stick with blue tansy and the repetitive thinking. I was thinking about this earlier, that I used to have terrible repetitive thinking that was negative. And I've sort of gradually trained myself to be thinking lots of repetitive positive thoughts. So if I was to take blue tansy, can it differentiate somehow between, or does it stop all repetitive thinking, good and bad?
You're asking me if it's a magic bullet. I think your intention probably went a long way. I think that, you know, if you have like a sliver in your foot and you're not able to get it out, it's going to keep bugging you. I think sometimes unprocessed emotions are kind of like slivers or irritation points in your body. So I don't think what it's actually doing is stopping the repetitive thought pattern. I think it's helping to move out the underlying emotion that kind of hasn't been processed so that the thought pattern naturally releases. You know, like if I'm wearing a necklace and I had to untangle it so that I could clasp it, right? It wasn't that I couldn't clasp it. It was that the tangle was getting in the way and kind of preventing me from getting there. So the problem wasn't the clasp. The problem was the tangle. The problem is not necessarily the repetitive thought. It's what's driving it underneath. And once you kind of process through that, the repetitive thought goes away.
It's so fascinating. And there's so sort of many layers to it. And you know, you do go into it in the book in really fascinating and interesting ways. But if someone was to sort of come to it kind of fresh and new and not really sort of have much experience of alternative health or complementary medicine or trying new ways, how do you sort of introduce someone slowly to sort of the idea, the kind of first steps?
What I really say is oils are the concentrated essences of plants, and plants are the basis for all the pharmaceutical drugs. Like 50% of the pharmaceutical drugs that have been authorized in the last 50 years have a plant basis. White willow bark is aspirin. Valerian root is Valium. It's really kind of nature's healing remedy. You know, we know, like when we have an upset stomach, if we like drink peppermint tea or ginger tea, it helps. People on some level know, oh yeah, plants do that. And then, you know, a concentrated essence, it's just basically a more natural way of getting kind of the constituents and chemicals that you get in plants or in drugs.
With all these systems that it's helping with, if there were pathogens and viruses and sort of bad things coming into your body, are the oils able to help with those?
You know, there are different levels. This idea of crawl before you walk, walk before you run. You don't jump necessarily to certain pathogens. You can, but what's kind of keeping them, you know, it's complicated. Like parasites throw you into a stress response and trigger the adrenals. And so you kind of start with the low-hanging fruit, you know, like that feels more advanced and oils can work, but I would send someone to a practitioner because everyone's bio-individual, like parasites, for example. You know, there are tons of remedies on the market. There's this American company called Cellcore that I adore, and they've got Para 1, Para 2, Para 3, because there are different kinds of parasites and different remedies work for different ones. And so while most people, you know, they can self-assess and self-guess like, okay, I know I'm having trouble falling asleep, or I know I'm having trouble staying asleep and I wake up at this time, and they're really not going to get it wrong. I feel like 100% degree of confidence that I won't send them in the wrong direction on that one. With parasites, I feel like you can't self-diagnose because you really don't know the different variances. So I kind of take them as far as I can get and then refer out. Like we have a whole practitioner locator on our site, because I'd rather have someone spend the money, meet with a practitioner and find out like, oh, para three is going to help me. Who knew? Than waste their money buying the wrong remedy, you know, and feeling like they're not getting the success they want.
And so with your experience of people using them and working with you, what's been the most sort of exciting revelations that you've come across, both for yourself and for other people?
My favorite revelation is an anxiety attack hack. So, you know, the different regions of your brain do different things. In fact, there's a whole branch of chiropractic called functional neurology that is looking to balance different hemispheres of the brain. So the right hemisphere, specifically the right frontal lobe, the forehead, kind of when that is overactive, you might experience that as panic attack. So the easiest way to balance that is to do something to stimulate the left frontal lobe, the left forehead. And the easiest way to do that is to smell anything through your left nostril. It could be any oil in your house. You know, oils come from the peel of citrus fruits. You could peel a tangerine, smell it under your left nostril. I have anxiety attacks. I'm very familiar with this. So it works incredibly well. I have a kid who has a starting anxiety, you know, like, oh my God, the homework's too much. I can't do it. You know, oh my God, this race is, you know, I'm so stressed. So once you like calm them down, calm the panic and like get them started, like, let's just start, you know, then they're good. So that has been kind of life altering. And for anyone who suffers from anxiety, once you try it, you'll be like, wow, how did I live this long and not know this?
And that's something that you can do anywhere, isn't it?
Exactly.
And so can you explain a bit about why breathing the oils is so effective, as opposed to, you know, I mean, also putting them on is on your skin is, but particularly the concept of it coming through your nose into your brain?
Yeah, what most people don't realize is it's really hard to get remedies into the brain because the security system, the blood-brain barrier, only lets super small fat-soluble molecules through. Like, you can't do chemotherapy in the brain because the molecules are too large. So also what people don't realize is that your nose cells, your olfactory channel, it's brain cells. And it's really where the blood-brain barrier is the thinnest, the capillaries are closest to the surface. And our sense of smell is critical to our survival. We smell food, we smell water, we smell predator odor. You know, it's interesting when people age and they lose their sense of smell, they die from eating rotten food. You know, they smell the milk and they can't smell that it's bad. So it actually has kind of premier VIP access to a part of your brain called the amygdala that helps make decisions. All your other senses are routed through the thalamus first. So smell is really powerful, and just being able to get directly into that emotional center, that could be why, you know, a lot of people like the citrus blends because they're very light. You smell bergamot, you smell neroli, you smell tangerine, and suddenly you feel better. You're energized, you're calmer, you're happier. It's really just the most efficient way to use anything. It's the fastest way. You know, this is why cocaine is inhaled through the nose, fastest way to get something into the brain.
And so as people are coming out, hopefully coming out of lockdown, the pandemic hopefully is getting under control, people have had, you know, some pretty tough times and have had to work incredibly hard. And, you know, as you say, as you were saying at the beginning, have really experienced overwhelm. And there does feel like that there's kind of some fallout, mental health fallout. What can people do if they're feeling like that, you know, just kind of some first steps with some, if they were just to go and buy some essential oils to mix a blend to just help them just with that as a kind of very first step?
I would say the parasympathetic blend. We didn't really talk that much about your nervous system has kind of we're in danger, sympathetic gauge, and we're safe, parasympathetic gauge. What this lockdown has done has kind of locked everyone in sympathetic. We're unsafe. And what people don't realize is resources are allocated differently when you think you're in danger. And one of those resources, it's this idea of selective attention. So one thing that happens when you're under stress and in the sympathetic branch of the nervous system is your eyesight changes, your pupils, the black part of your eyes get really big like saucers. And that allows you to take in more light and kind of strategize your next step to either fight back or flee. But it also disconnects you from other people. Like when my kids were little, one of the preschool teachers used to say, connect before you correct. So you're at the playground, your kid throws sand, you don't yell at them in the sandbox. You scoop them up, walk over to the swing and wait until their pupils shrink up and then say like, hey, you know, we're nice here. If you can't be nice, we can't be here kind of thing. And then they can hear you and take it in more. So I think the more people can really access the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system. And actually, I have a free chapter for this. If you go to boostthebrainbook.com/gift, you can grab a free chapter with 25 strategies to activate the vagus nerve. And it doesn't, I mean, there are simple ones that are free that don't involve buying oils or buying anything. I do have a clove and lime blend that I put behind the ear on the mastoid bone to help activate the parasympathetic nervous system. But just doing that, and it takes you from, you know, so many of us have had those days when we're driving, someone cuts us off and we're good, you know, whatever. They're in a hurry. I hope they get there safely. It's all good. And then the next day, same thing happens, but yet four-letter words are flying out of our mouths and we're really riled up. And the only variable is us and how resilient and calm, how parasympathetic we were in that moment. So the more you have this tool to calm your own nervous system so that you can recognize like, wow, I'm afraid to hug people. I'm afraid to like be indoors with people because it's been so long, and just recognize that and kind of find a way to say, but you're still safe. You're okay. Because the moment you feel safe, then it unlocks a lot of aspects of, you know, your physiology, especially for connection.
What do you see the future, not just for you, for your business, but for essential oils in as sort of part and parcel of the whole well-being landscape?
Well, I don't even pretend to have a crystal ball. So I'm just going to say what I hope people who listen to this podcast will take away. I hope that if you haven't considered oils, you might consider it. I will say, I've heard people say like, oh, if it smells bad, you need it. I don't look at it that way. You would never eat anything that didn't smell good to you. I would say if you live near a supermarket or an area that carries oils, just try some and pick one that smells good that you like, and just, you know, keep it in your car for when you're anxious, or try it. The bottom of the feet is a really good place to do it. Actually, the best thing you can do, especially in this post-COVID, pre-who knows what time on the planet, is Epsom salt baths, because it does a variety of things. You know, your skin is your largest organ. Epsom salt is really magnesium. So 2 cups of Epsom salt, 1 cup of baking soda. You can throw in a little boron to kind of help with a detox, like a teaspoon. And then take like lavender or whatever you like. Just use 2 or 3 drops. Use your bathtub as a mixing bowl. Mix the oil into the salt bath. And then add water as hot as you can stand it and stay in for as long as you can. And that's a really nice full body oil experience. And it's great for you. It's great for detoxifying. It's great for the immune system. It's great for shifting mood. You know, just that's a good way to start. And it's a really nice self-care ritual.
So we have all been through very, very difficult times, all of us, personally, part of, you know, this whole kind of pandemic that we've all been through, our own particular journeys. I wonder for you and for the challenges that you've been through, how do you define courage?
You know, it's funny. I mentioned that I worked in the Senate with all these war heroes, right? And we all thought like, oh, they're so brave. And what I've come to realize is no one wants a situation that defines you as a hero or courage. It's basically choosing to keep moving and keep living no matter what kind of falls in your path. I think courage is a choice. This is not the mountain I die on kind of thing.
And that's the symbol we have for the podcast. It's an open hand with choose courage written on it.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's funny. And I said, it's a choice. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
And I agree with you. In every moment we can choose courage.
Yes. Yes. Every moment is a choice. And the more you're able to kind of activate your parasympathetic nervous system and have access to all of your cognitive function, the easier it is to make good choices and the calmer it feels to choose.
Thank you so much, Jodi, for providing the ultimate wellness plan for boosting brain health, both through your plant-based essential oils and your powerful book and healing guide. Thank you so much. It's been really lovely to talk to you. And I'm going to go to my little set of oils and start mixing some more blends with your recipe book.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Jodie, for showing us that through the powerful properties of essential oils, we can create a healing effect on our brain and nervous system for optimal health. You can find out more about Jodie's work on www.vibrantblueoils.com and follow her on Instagram at jodiecohen.bbo. Thanks to Silk Studios for producing and sourcing the guests for the show. And thanks to you all for listening. Take care, choose courage, and see you next week.